This is news from North Country Public Radio.
Vermont might have become the eastern side of New York State if it hadn't been for the bold action of patriot and land speculator Ethan Allen. Our book reviewer Betsy Capus reviews William Stern Randall's new biography of Vermont's first hero.
I have to admit, before I read this biography of Ethan Allen, I knew of the furniture company named after him and little else. My colonial-era history was pretty shaky, too. Fortunately, William Randall, an historian at Champlain College in Burlington, is a fine guide to the life and times of a man who was equal parts hero and hustler. At the start of the Revolutionary War, Allen, with his Green Mountain Boys, commanded the second largest standing army in North America. Only the British garrison in Boston was larger. When Allen and his men took Fort Ticonderoga without firing a shot, Allen became an immediate American hero. A year later, when prisoner of war Ethan Allen stepped off a ship in Cornwall, he discovered he was a folk hero for the English commoners, too. They lined the road to see him and his men transported to their next jail in Pendennis Castle. The prison ship that would bring him back to the States stopped at the Irish port of Cork, where Allen received costly gifts, including an expensive suit of clothes, gold, and whiskey. When he was finally released, after almost 3 years of captivity, his memoir was an instant bestseller. Randall lets the reader know that Allen's life wasn't all glory. The oldest child in a frontier family in Connecticut, Allen had to give up the chance to go to Yale when his father died. Always scrambling for money, Allen invested heavily in land in Vermont, then known as the New Hampshire Grants. The territory was claimed by both New York and New Hampshire, and many pages of this thick biography are devoted to the land wars between the two. Allen despised the Yorkers, and with his Green Mountain Boys, led raids on their farms, burning barns and houses. New York put a price on Allen's head, but when the British finally provoked the American colonists into war, Allen and his Green Mountain Boys became valuable troops rather than disruptive terrorists. Allen assumed he would lead the surprise attack on Fort Ticonderoga and didn't realize Benedict Arnold was marching north with his troops. They had to share the command, though they never liked each other. Arnold called Allen, quote, "a proper man to lead his own wild people, but entirely unacquainted with military service." When Allen made the rash decision to attack Montreal, he was captured and sat out much of the war in the dark holds of prison ships. George Washington sought his release, and it was his aide-de-camp, the young Alexander Hamilton, who finally negotiated a prisoner exchange. Stern does a good job balancing a just-the-facts approach with some extended scenes that bring the history to life. He takes time to describe the meeting at the Valley Forge headquarters between Washington and the newly released prisoner. Stern writes, "The man Washington saw before him when he welcomed Allen into his cramped, high-spirited headquarters was 40 years old, weak and haggard, his thick black hair all but gone, his blue cork suit hanging loosely on him. In the last 10 years of his life, Allen negotiated fiercely to have Vermont recognized as its own state. In February of 1789, while crossing the ice on Lake Champlain with a sleigh load of hay, Allen had a stroke and died the next day at the age of 51. 2 years later, the American colonies finally voted to allow Vermont to join the Union.
Digital distribution of North Country Public Radio news and features is funded by gifts from listeners like you. Join us at ncpr.org.